of Gideon's actually been distributing out Bibles. That's when they were first, I guess, called Gideon's. But you know, the scriptures have been distributed out a lot longer than that. You know, if you have a Bible in your hands and you turn to John chapter 1, you don't have to turn there. I'm just giving you an just a reference. It says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The Word's been around a long time. Even before it was put down on paper, it was coming from the mouth of God. What did God say? How shall a man live? Not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, God's word is important. It's important. And the Gideons are just working one part of getting the word out. But there's a part for us too. We've got to keep doing that. And I want to open us up in prayer, and I want to pray, and then I want to say a few words too. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for the Gideons and for the work that they have done to go about sowing the seeds of God's precious word, whom you would tell us that is as silver that's purified in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. We can count on your word. We can rely on it. And we know, Lord, that it is your word that leads people to salvation. And I'm thankful that 2,000 years ago that word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we can behold his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We're thankful for your word that tells us about salvation. I'm thankful for the word that has been a heritage in my family, and not just my family, but so many generations before us, especially in the United States, whose founding fathers built a nation on your word. Lord, help us to remember that this morning. Help us to see the importance of your word, and that it is still just as important today as it was then, that we need to go out into this world and give your word, to give your testimony, because in it contains the words of life. Not life, just life here, but life everlasting. Help us to keep that in mind every time that we look upon your word. Help us to think about that every time we see somebody walking down the street or driving in the car, that's somebody that Jesus died for. That's somebody that God gave his word for. Help us, Lord, to recall these things always in our minds. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight, and sowing seeds of your word throughout this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would, I'm not going to preach a whole message, but I want to give you a little bit to take home with you. Even though I know the Gideon's word was good, I want to pound it in just a little bit. I don't get many chances, I think, to really just hone in. But when you have a service that's dedicated to God's word, this is a perfect opportunity to be able to remind each of us what God's word has played in our life. If you'd look with me in Psalms 119 and verse 111. Psalms 119 and 111. The scripture will say, "Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart." Do you think about that when you open up your Bible, or maybe you see it? Maybe it's been on a shelf and you hadn't opened it in a while. Do you look at it and say, "That's God's testimony, and it's a heritage to me"? Do you know what a heritage means? That means something that helped build you, that helped make you who you are today. And friends, we've forgotten that in our country. That there was a bunch of men and women who believed in God's testimony. And I don't want you leaving here today thinking that, oh, I can live without it? Because your forefathers didn't think you could. And I want to give you some quotes from those guys today. George Washington would say, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without the Bible." John Adams would say, "The Bible is the best book in the world. It contains more than all the libraries I have seen." Thomas Jefferson, "The Bible makes the best people in the world." Andrew Jackson, "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." Calvin Coolidge, "The foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them if faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country." Man, Calvin nailed it. You want to know why our country has problems governing right now? Because they forgot the foundation on which it was founded. You can't throw away the slab that the building's built on and expect it to stand. In your life, if your life is not built on the foundation of God's Word, it's not going to stand. And I'm not talking about just this life. I'm talking about eternal life too. Herbert Hoover would say, "The whole of the inspirations of our civilization springs from the teachings of Christ. To read the Bible is a necessity of American life." Man, I wish the church, people who call themselves Christians, just believe that one. That this was a necessity for American life. Let me give you some other ones, some world leaders. William Gladstone, he was the four-time Prime Minister of Great Britain. "I have known 95 great men of the world in my time, and of these, 87 were followers of the Bible." Winston Churchill, British Prime Minister during World War II, "We rest with assurance upon the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture." World War II wouldn't have made it without that guy. We would all be speaking German or Japanese. That's where we would have been without him. Yet they were solid in their understanding of God's precious Word, whom the Gideons are trying to distribute. I can't think that there would ever be too many Bibles out there. There just can't be. You know, it's still the number one bestseller. You know, we have people contacting our church wanting us to give them more Bibles. And we can only do so much. And it's hard. Because the devil doesn't want God's Word getting out there. Because he knows that this Word contains John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." This book will also tell you that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Somebody had to die for your sin. And that somebody, the Scripture will tell us, is Jesus Christ. The Scripture will tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. Your sin has created a barrier between you and your Creator. And if you deny the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Romans chapter 1 will tell you that you are heaping upon yourselves the wrath of Almighty God. But when Jesus comes on the scene, you're no longer children of the wrath, but you're children of the light. That's what the Scripture tells us. And the devil doesn't want that message going out. He doesn't want the message going out that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He doesn't want that message going out. And you know, you can find that in a Gideon's Bible. God's holy word, our basic instruction. Our founding fathers believed in it. They weren't the only ones. Some scientists believed in it too. They'll tell you science does not agree with the Bible. They contradict each other. Not true scientists. Sir Isaac Newton, we account the scriptures of God to be the most sublime philosophy. I find more sure marks of authenticity in the Bible than any profane history whatsoever. What he's basically saying, Isaac, he's too smart. I can't even hardly say the words that he used. But he's saying that if you want to know some truth, here's something that's authentic. This is something that's telling you the truth. Will you accept it? Sir Isaac Newton did. Sir Francis Bacon, the volume of scriptures reveal the will of God. You ever wonder what God wants you to do in your life? Open it up. You need more faith? The scripture will tell you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You wonder why Americans struggle with their faith? They're not getting enough of this. They're not getting enough of this in the church. They're definitely not getting enough of it at home. We need God's Word. If you're not a Gideon, that doesn't mean you can't give out God's Word. I'm always looking for a sale on Bibles. Because you know, since I've been out of the Air Force, just only a couple years, I've met people that say that they've never owned a Bible. You know, the Gideons can't reach everybody. Sometimes if those kids are absent from school that day, they don't get a Bible. Or their parents won't let them have it for whatever reason. And they don't have God's Word. Here's a historian, H.G. Wells. The Bible has been the book that held together the fabric of Western civilization. The civilization we possess could not come into existence and could not have been sustained without it. You want to know why the Western civilization is collapsing? It is because we have gotten rid of God's Word, not only from our homes and our church, but from our hearts. And it is collapsing. They have changed our laws to dishonor God's Word. They have taken the prayer out of school. I can remember when I went to school and we would read from God's Word. My teacher did that. That was only like 30 years ago. It's changed that much. I can remember when I went to Vacation Bible School and all the kids in the neighborhood was there. And they would teach us the pledge to the American flag. They would teach us the pledge to the Christian flag. And they'd teach us the pledge to the Bible. And I can remember the students standing up in front of everybody. And they'd tell us to put our hands over our heart, and the person holding the Bible would do like this. And we'd say, I pledge allegiance to the Bible. God's holy word, I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path. Thy words will I hide in my heart that I might not sin against God. I bet you could ask some of our kids today and they wouldn't know that. Because churches aren't teaching it like they used to. We used to believe it. I believe it still. I believe it is God's holy word. And I believe that God wants people to be holy because He's holy. Now, I can't be holy on my own accord. I need somebody to help me out. I need Jesus Christ, whom also this word will tell me that He is a propitiation for my sin. He stands in the gap for me so that when God looks at me, He no longer sees that awful sinner over there. He sees somebody who's been washed white as snow, whom He has reasoned with. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 will say, come, Mitch, and let us reason together. And He calls you, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they can be made as wool. This Bible tells me that. And there's so many that don't have this in their hands that they're not looking at it. They don't know. Jesus is their propitiation. He's standing in the gap. He has paid their price, the price that they could not pay. And he would do just like Isaiah 43 and verse 25 says. He says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sin. See, God doesn't want to remember your sin. He wants you to accept his word. He wants you to accept his son. He wants you to acknowledge your sin. Confess your sin. Repent, Jesus would say. Repent, John the Baptist would say, whom Jesus said, of all the prophets that ever existed, John the Baptist is the greatest. And his message was, repent. Seek God's word. Open it up. See that God wants to bless you. But if you will not repent, you will have God's curse and his wrath upon you. There is a penalty, but there is also life everlasting. Doctors even know this. Mark Hopkins, if you know that physician. Thus, we have every conceivable species of historical proof, both external and internal. Thus do the very stones cry out. The stones are crying out. Archaeology is digging it up, and this physician, he knew it. He's like, look at the DNA. It breathes God. You know, there's even a particle in your cells that they call the God particle because they can't understand it. It's like it exists without anything else supporting it. That's what scientists have called it. Daniel Webster, a lawyer, I believe the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament to be the will and the word of God. Benjamin Franklin, young man, my advice to you is that you cultivate an acquaintance with and a firm belief in the Holy Scriptures. Noah Webster would say, the moral principles and precepts contained in the Scriptures ought to form the basis of all our civil constitutions and laws. All the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from their despising or neglecting the precepts contained in the Bible. You want to know why bad things happen? They've turned against God's word. And we need to turn back. We need to turn back. Charles Dickens, it is the best book that was or ever will be in the world. See, we've got a godly heritage. Just like Psalms 119, 111 will say, I want to read it one more time. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. Is that true of you? Can you say that's true in your life? Brother Mitch, I believed everything that you said. Do you really? Have you taken it as a testimony of your own personal life? That you believe it? For they are the rejoicing of my heart. When you open your Bible, do you thank God for giving you His Word? Do you? You should. Many men paid with their lives to give you this English version. Many men paid with their lives. Hundreds of years, people did not have God's Word to read. And today, we have a church full of Bibles. The Gideons are giving out the Bibles. But there's coming a day, the Scripture tells us, that the devil's going to do everything he can to try to pull that seed out of it. Remember when Jesus told the parable of the sower? That the sower went about sowing the seeds. But on the wayside, the devil picks it up so that it can't grow. So it can't grow into salvation. Let us not be that. Let us guard our hearts with God's precious word. Let His testimonies and His precepts govern every day of our life. that when we wake up in the morning, we're thinking about God and His Word. And we take some time to pray and to proclaim Jesus Christ in our life. We've got to get back to our godly heritage. Our forefathers believed in it. God's men believed in it. Jesus believed in it so much that He was willing to die for your sins. Here's the question for you. Do you believe in it? Do you believe in it? The song leader and the pianist who come, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank You for Your Word. I want to thank You that You've given us Your Scriptures. I want to thank You for just showing me things each and every day, increasing my knowledge of You, building my relationship with You. And Lord, I ask that for all Your people, that they would acknowledge Your Word and they would let it be put in their hearts, hide it in their hearts so that they would not sin against You. Lead them, Lord, to Your cross. Help them, Lord, to experience Your grace. If anybody's not saved today, Lord, let them turn from their wicked ways and let them walk before the cross of Jesus Christ, because it is at that cross that He will say, I forgive you. You don't have to die and go to hell. But just like He did to the thief on the cross, this day shalt thou be with Me in paradise. Lord, help us to acknowledge Your Word and let it be the authority in our life. Make Your precepts known to us and help us to live them out each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.